at the church say amen. Isn't it a wonderful thought that I won't have to cry anymore? We won't have to cry anymore when we get there. But we got to get there first. And that's the task that's set before us each and every day that we live, is how to get there. We want to go from earth to glory. And this is the way that we can live without tears. No more sorrow, no more pain. All because we live in heaven if we live right down here. This morning, the text was taken from Titus 2, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And we shall revisit them in a minute. But let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, Father, we have read about and we sing about how wonderful heaven will be. But Father, help us to make sure we can make heaven our home. Help us this morning, O Heavenly Father, as we reach out to one another to help one another along the way. And then we all reach out to you to help us to do the right thing. And you have left us your word. But Father, with the way things are in this world, we sometimes need help in order to get through what life throws at us. And Father, we're praying this morning for all in the congregation here. We're praying for the leaders of this congregation. We're praying for the members of this congregation. We're praying for their families. And we're just praying, O Lord, that we can live in a reasonable amount of peace in this world. For this world is out of control, O Lord. And we just thank you, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, I just wonder sometimes if we realize just how we treat one another. But I pray, Father, that you would soften all of our hearts, that we may learn to love one another as you have told us to do. Thank you this morning, Father, for those who may be sick among us. And I pray for their well-being and pray for their family's well-being as well. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for all of those this morning who are here in the auditorium, that we may come together to hear another portion of thy word. I pray for those who may still be on their way, that they may get here without any hurt, harm, or danger. I pray for those, Father, who are traveling this day, that their travels will be safe and secure. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are visiting with us in the audience this morning, that their experience may be well, O Lord. And Father, help us all to do and live right. Help the parents, the husbands and the wives to live and do right. Help the parents to live and do right by their children. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. And Father, I pray for those who have lost loved ones, that they may come around to accept the fact that love lost would never have been lost had it not been gained. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your will is your way and we must accept your will. Thanking you right now, Heavenly Father, for all of those this morning who are trying to live in thy word. And Father, we continue to pray and ask it all in the name of the one who went up and died on yonder's cross. Father, we thank you this morning for everything. It is in his name we say, amen. This morning, we had a very interesting Sunday school lesson this morning. I thought it was a wonderful lesson. It put some old thoughts to bed, if you might want to say that. It brought out some points that I never knew, and naturally that's why we come to Sunday school, so we can learn. And it would have been interesting if more of you had been here to hear what the lesson brought out. I'm not going to reveal the lesson to you, because like I always say, you should have been here. But nevertheless, there was some learning involved in the lesson this morning. This morning we want to look at a subject, looking for His glorious return. It is good for us to have something to look forward to. We look forward for the weekends for those of us who work and have weekends off. It means it's a couple of days off. We look forward, our children look forward to holidays and days out of school, for they love to be out of school for the most part. Many of us look forward to going on vacations, although I wouldn't suggest you take a cruise. But nevertheless, we look forward to going on vacation. On the other hand, we should be looking forward for the return of the Lamb of God, our precious Savior, who is our blessed hope. The people of the Old Testament looked for over 4,000 years for the return of, for His appearance, I should say. While New Testament Christians have been waiting for over 2,000 years for His return. But He shall, let me emphasize that, He shall return. We can be assured because He's going to come back. If you think that He's not going to come back, just think about it for a moment. Why would the New Testament in over 300 different references talk about His return? Why would the New Testament suggest that we need to live right in order that we can be right when He comes back? All of those references are not in vain. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, once again this morning as we go off into our lesson now. We need to learn just a couple of things this morning from, look at Titus, the second chapter, starting at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him, church. The Bible suggested that we are looking for Him. And the Bible is never wrong. We may be wrong, but the Bible is not. But many of us don't think we're ever wrong, so that's another subject. But He shall come. How shall He come? He shall return as Himself. That's the first thing we need to understand. Take your Bibles and open them up, if you will, and go over with me to the book of John. In John chapter 14, I want you to notice something. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, look what the Bible says. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and here's what I want you to get. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." God is coming back. He shall come Himself. Look at what He said there in John 14, verse number 3. He said, "I will come back so that you can be with Me. I will be back for you." And that's a Christian's national anthem, if you will, that Jesus is coming back one day. Jesus is coming soon, as we sing from time to time. Jesus is coming soon. Soon and very soon, Jesus will be here. But how do you know it's going to be Him, preacher? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verses number 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So I want you to notice those two words, those three words, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." This tells me one thing right there. It is important that we die in Christ so that we may get up first in Christ. This is why it's so important that we live right, so that we may get up right. Living wrong and getting up wrong is going to be a devastating affair for many of us. We need to make sure that we understand how wonderful and how good God is. How wonderful and good it is to serve the God that we serve. How wonderful and good to serve the God who saved us through His grace because He loved us. God loved us. I try not to think about how good it would have been without God, because it wouldn't have been very good. So I remember how good God really has been unto us. How good and wonderful, how good His grace has been to us. Will we be able to see Him? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Watch 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. When He shall appear, again notice that He shall appear. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. It will not be a stand-in. It will not be a computer-generated or a stunt double. But we shall see Him as He will. But the question becomes, will you be ready? Will you be ready when He comes? When He comes, He shall reward every man according to his works, according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 27. Ask yourself two questions. The first question you ask yourself, am I living and walking in the Lord? Number two, ask yourself, am I doing the kind of work, or ask yourself, will the kind of work that I'm doing get me in to heaven? And then finally, ask yourself as a part of that second question, am I going to get into heaven, or am I too concerned about what others may think of me and what I'm doing? I don't mean to belittle anyone this morning. I don't mean to get on or step on anybody's toes. But if I do, excuse me. But when I think about it, what it tells me is, I just must say this sometimes when I feel good about how things are going. I must say how much we ought to love the Lord. But then when I look back at things, sometimes I wonder why there are far too many church folk who are so concerned about other church folk. They are slipping in their own works. And all I'm saying is this. When you do what you are supposed to do, you won't have time to be concerned about what I'm doing. If you see me in a fault, tell me about it and let me decide if I want to correct myself or not. Don't you wind up in sin because of me. In other words, don't stop coming to church because I no longer come to church. You ain't helping me if you are not doing what you need to be doing and you're just telling me what I should be doing. In other words, if I should become 11 o'clock Christian, don't you become an 11 o'clock Christian. If I become 11 o'clock Christian, getting here right at 11:05, don't you walk in at 11:05 because I came in at 11:05. You got to learn to keep your own soul free from sin. You've got to learn to take care of your own soul. And you can't lose your soul worrying about my soul because my soul is my responsibility. But if you see me wrong, I do want you to tell me. But then let me decide if I want to change it. You know what the Bible said in Matthew chapter, I believe it's chapter 10, where the Bible says, shake the dust off and keep moving along. In other words, if I don't want to hear you, leave me alone. Just leave me alone and let me get the full understanding of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then somebody said, well, when it comes to the Lord's return, there will not be any do-overs. Somebody always want to know, can I do this all over again? Do I get a second chance? And the answer is no, you don't get a second chance. There won't be any do-over. Because Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 7 answers the question how He will come. He shall come quickly. So you're least going to be expecting it, but He shall come. So number two, we should prepare for His return. The answer to getting prepared can be found in our text. In verse number 12 there, look what the Bible says. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, I told you there won't be any do-over, so you can't live righteously in the next world. You've got to live righteously in this world that you may get to a good world in the next life, after the afterlife. It simply means we must give up on those things that are mentioned in verse number 12 and anything else that is contrary to God's Word. But I think this verse wraps up the complete realm of sin in three words. Ungodliness and worldly lust is actually two words. We've got to learn to put away all that is contrary to the Word and the will of God. We must become strong in our stand against Satan. For he already knows what he is doing, and for he moves about as a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. You know, are you on his radar? If you are a Christian, I can tell you the answer. The answer is yes. If you are a Christian, you are definitely on his radar. If you love the Lord, he wants to make sure that he can upset your love affair with the Lord. And he's going to try you. And some church folk like to think, well, he can't get me. I'm straight. I'm well versed in the gospel, so I know that he's coming after you first. You know why? Because he wants to prove to you that you're not as strong as you think you are. He wants to prove to you, and he's walking around seeking whom he may devour, and you may be devoured by him. I can tell you one thing. I can tell you he's going to be successful at the kind that he's going to be successful at is the one who is not knowledgeable and steadfast in the Word of God. But we've got an ally. We've got the Word of God, and we must learn how to read, how to study, and how to do the Word of God. We've got to learn to be steadfast in God's Word. We've got to learn that we can defeat the devil if we just keep in the Word of God. He's going to come after also the one who doesn't feel that he needs God in his life. He doesn't feel the need to come to church on the Lord's Day. The one who doesn't open his or her Bible except when they want to find out when Uncle Bill and Aunt Maggie got married. You know, in that front section there where it asks you to put important dates. That's the only time some people go to the Bible, when they want to get an important date in their lives out. Or he's going to come to the one who decided that I don't believe that there is only one God and only one church in the New Testament. I don't believe what they say about who built the church. Those are the kind of people he's going to come at steadfastly. He's going to see if he can devour and rid you of the Word of God, what little bits you know about the Word of God. But he's going to be after those people who don't know the Word of God at all. So I asked the question this morning. Has it been so long since you've opened the Bible that you won't know where to find what you're looking for? Has it been so long since you've opened the Bible that you don't know Matthew from Revelation? Has it been so long since you opened the Bible that you don't know on what chapter or what scripture you find, thus saith the Lord? You know, there's a big difference sometime when somebody tells you, I've read the Bible. But then the question becomes, have you really studied the Bible? Have you studied or have you just read the Bible? You know, there's an ongoing relationship that we need to keep with God. And that relationship says that we must study to show ourselves approved. We must learn to study God's Word. There's no room for just opening your Bible when you think it's time to open the Bible. You've got to study God's Word, and you've got to understand what the text says there in verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, what does that say? What does that mean to us today? Simple. We've got to live the way the Bible tells us to live. We've got to love the Lord as we love God. As we've got to love our Lord, our God, with all of our heart and our soul. And then we've got to love one another. Now, I can't stress that fact enough. First of all, I know what some say. Some say, well, I love the Lord. That's no problem for me, preacher. I can love the Lord. But do you love one another? And I keep going right back to that same topic, loving one another. Loving one another is so important that we must learn to accept that, because if we don't love down here, how do you think we're going to get up there to love long distance? If we can't love one another here, we certainly are not going to get up there so we can create all kind of problems up there. But we've got to look for love toward one another. We've got to learn to accept and appreciate the truth, because the truth shall make us free. We've got to learn to accept the fact that God knows us better than we know ourselves. We've got to learn to accept what the text says in verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming back, church. He is coming back. No matter which way you think, He is definitely coming back. What a day that shall be. It shall be a glorious day when the Lord comes back. When we see Jesus, according to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4, Jesus is called the chief shepherd. It says in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, I want my crown. I might have a big head down here, but I hope the crown fits. And if your head is too big down here, you might not get up there to get your crown fitted on you. So we've got to learn to calm down. We've got to learn to treat one another righteously. And we've got to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. When He shall appear, those sheep that are in His will be heaven bound. Those who are in His sheepfold. Those who served Him. According to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. Now, wait a minute. What does that say? That say you're going to get paid. But you're going to get paid whether you did good or bad. If you did good, you're going to get paid good. If you did badly, you're not going to get paid so good. So you've got to be careful and be cautious. So I want us to be thankful to God today. I want us to be thankful that God went to the cross for us. I want us to remember how God, as He hung on the cross, and that was part of the discussion this morning in Bible class, how did He hang on the cross? How was He actually put up on the cross? And again, I'm not going to tell you everything. You should have been here. But nevertheless, we've got to learn to do what the will of the Lord is in our lives. And we've got to learn to do the will of God's Word. Look at the text again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Now that's three different things. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I may as well read 14 there too. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquities, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Zealous of good work. Are you zealous of good work? Are you reaching out and touching others in your good works? Are you just saying, I live soberly, righteously, and I live soberly, righteous, and giving up the worldly lust, but yet I don't try to reach out to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? Do you know that in this world of, it's 100, I believe it's something like 160 or 180 billion people in this world? Do you realize how much you can reach out and touch someone? How easy it is to reach out and touch someone? But some of us, we can't reach out and touch somebody because we're not touched ourselves. We're not touched ourselves because we don't understand the Word of God. We don't understand that God wants us to be a loving kind of a person. He wants us to tell others about Him. You know, too many of us want to tell others about me. How great I am. How good I am. how just wonderful I am, but you don't want to tell him about God. But then He gave Himself of us, for us, that He might save, redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. See, we're peculiar. We're not strange, we're peculiar. We're zealous of good works. Now, a peculiar person has a distinct thing about him. And we are peculiar before Christ. That's what we ought to be, at least, anyway. We must learn to be like Christ wants us to be. We have the Good Shepherd. Thank God today we have the Good Shepherd who looks after His sheep. And what kind of shepherd is Jesus? Well, He is the Good Shepherd according to John chapter 10 and verse number 11. He is the Seeking Shepherd according to Luke 19 and 10. He is the Saving Shepherd according to John 10, 27 and 28. But most importantly of all, He is the Resurrected and the Living Shepherd. See, we can't serve Jesus if He's not a living God. I thank God this morning that we have a resurrected and a living God. If we wasn't living, what would we be? Why are we here? If you don't believe that He's the living God. I'm just so glad this morning that we as believers are waiting and looking for His glorious return. And when we wait and looking for that blessed hope to come, just think about it for a minute, church. And I'm coming to a close. Just think about it for a minute, church. If it were not for Jesus, and I say this often, but I keep insisting that you hear this. If it were not for Jesus, where would we be today? Where would these old, and we talk about how well these bodies are put together. We talk about how we feel. How good I feel or how bad I feel. But do you know that without Jesus Christ, these bodies would be nothing. Nothing at all. So I ask you the question this morning. Are you living, teaching and denying ungodliness and worldly lust? We should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. Are you living that way? Number 13, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Him? Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Are you being zealous this morning? Are you looking for good works or are you just looking? Are you doing the right thing this morning? Are you living righteously this morning? Are you living soberly? Are you living without the worldly lust? And this morning, sometime, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And you have to ask yourself, how am I doing for Jesus Christ? And nobody can answer that question but you. If I was to answer the question of how I'm living for Jesus Christ, I must answer it truthfully and honestly in order for me to know exactly what I'm doing. In other words, we have to take an inventory of ourselves. And the mirror is the greatest place in the world to take an inventory because the person looking out is the same person you are. See, without being the man in the mirror, without the man in the mirror, I don't know me. When I look in the mirror, I can see, number one, how I look, how I react. I can not only check for my beauty. That's an unnatural reaction. I want to know how I look, so I look in the mirror. But I want you to look in the mirror for a different reason. I want you to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Am I loving the Lord like I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what the Lord has asked me to do? Do I love my brethren and sister? Do I love my neighbor? Do I love everybody? Or am I so hung up on myself, I'm too in love with me to love anybody other than me? Some of us must come to the realization that we've got to love one another as much as we love ourselves. We've got to live soberly, godly, and give up worldly lust. And I'm not going to get into what worldly lust is, because I'd be up here till 5 o'clock this evening. And some of you would almost miss the All-Star game this afternoon. But what I want you to understand is this one thing. That we've got to live for the Lord, and we've got to live soberly and righteously and ungodly and worldly lust. All of that has to go. Now, how do I get rid of all of that? Well, that becomes a problem for many people. You know, it's hard to give up what I love so much. And if I love myself so much that I can't give it up, then I'm going to be lost when it comes to the return of Jesus. When I look in and I think about it, I know one thing from the words of the Bible in Hebrews 9 and verse number 27. Once appointed to man to die, then comes the judgment. I know it's coming. I just don't know when. Now that's the mystery part of it, because if you knew when, then you knew exactly when to cut off your ungodly living. But God didn't give us that privilege of knowing exactly when that time is going to come. You see, I don't know when I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die, but I just don't know when I'm going to die. Even Jesus doesn't know that. I don't know the day nor the hour when I might die. I know one thing I do know. One thing I do know, though, is that as I get older, I've been starting to think about my death more often. Because I know it puts me, if I've lived so long, I know it put me a little bit closer. Now, that's no reason just to think about it, because young folk die too. They're dying every day. But I know that if I've been living long enough, I know that age is catching up with me. I know that I can't walk as fast as I used to walk. I can't see as far as I used to see. I can't reach out as easily as I used to. Although every time you reach out, a joint hurts here or there or somewhere else. But I do know this one thing, that Jesus is coming, and I'm waiting and looking for His return. And you ought to be doing the same thing. Because He is coming. And if He comes, not if, but when He comes, how will He find you? That's why you need to go to the mirror. But first thing you must do when you become honest with yourself, you must ask yourself this question too. Have I put myself in the body of Christ? Am I in the Lord, first of all? And if you're not in the Lord, you need to get in the Lord. First of all, you need to understand a few things. You need to understand why you want to be in the Lord. You need to understand, what must I do to be saved? You need to understand that God is good to us no matter how we are. God is still good. And if you think He's not good, you're still here, aren't you? You know, when you woke up this morning, out of that sleep and slumber that you were in, what made you think that you were good enough to wake up on your own? Somebody woke you up this morning. Somebody whispered in your ear, it's time for you to open your eyelids. Somebody said, wake up, brother or sister so-and-so. It's time to wake up. And I thank God that He allowed me to open my eyes this morning. And I told Him so early this morning. And you ought to make sure that you're telling Him early every morning, every time you wake up, every wakening hour, you ought to say, Lord, I thank You this morning that You've been so good to me. And why can't I live ungodly and soberly and without worldly lust like You ask of me, like the Bible asks of me? How can I live righteously when I don't know righteousness? When you learn righteousness, you learn how to live righteously. So if you want to get into the Lord, you've got to make sure that you've studied or sit down with somebody who explained Jesus Christ to you. Do you remember the eunuch in the chariot as Philip was walking along and he asked him, there is water. No, first of all, he said, how can I understand? At least some man explain it to me. So you've got to sit with somebody and let them explain it to the best of their ability that you get an understanding. And once you get an understanding, be like that eunuch and say, there's water. What hinders me? Thank God you don't have to wait until you're driving down the road in a chariot. We've got water right here this morning. And you can be baptized this day. You don't have to wait until you go to worship service next week. You can do it this week, right here, right now. So then, how do I go about that, preacher? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And Brother Jackson just loves to baptize you year round. He don't care if it's cold outside, do you, Brother Jackson? No, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. He'll baptize you this day. But if you've been already been baptized, you've been to the water already, and you went astray. And when I say you went astray, I speak from personal experience. I've told you this before. I went astray before. I know what it's like to be astray. I know what it's like to be out there without God on your side. But God blessed me enough to let me get back. And if He's blessing you and you're out there, He's blessed you enough to get back this day. So you might want to take advantage of it this day. How do I take advantage of it? Well, ask the Lord to forgive you for whatever your shortcomings have been. And then ask the church to come up before the church. Ask the church to give you strength that you may move on along, move forward. Nobody likes living in the past. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Number six.